And as we always do on a Saturday morning, hope you keep it running thanks to the help we get from Dan Burns, who is an ASE-certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, which reminds me, I think tomorrow...
Grand Ole Day.
Grand Ole Day tomorrow, yeah. What a great avenue. Seriously.
It is a great avenue and a great party, and a good time will be had by all tomorrow.
And I'm looking at the forecast. It's going to be good.
It sounds like it's going to be beautiful. Yeah. Not too hot and sunny. And yeah. It should be really nice.
So people will be waltzing by Lloyd's Automotive then?
They will.
Looking
in
the windows?
Our role is we store the golf carts for the event.
So, you do?
Which is not a small task.
It's not.
But we've done that for many years now. So that's what we do. And then, of course, they have stuff set up in our lot. But as everybody on the avenue does, it's just a big...
Everybody helps out.
Yeah, everybody helps out. So it's really nice.
Great. Good day. Grand old day. This is a usual format here on a Saturday morning. Dan has helped us out for well over 20 years here on CCU, helping you out. If you have any kind of a car care question, and before you bring in your car, truck, van, whatever the case may be, to your favorite dealer or your favorite shop for service, Dan might give you a little inkling of what may be wrong, and which is good to do because you can maybe cut to the chase, tell the service writer, the person you talk to at the dealer or the shop, I think this is what – I was talking to Dan Burns, and I think this may be the issue. And I bet you that's happened more than once at places.
I'm sure.
Has it happened at your shop?
Oh, it has indeed. Yeah. I talked to Dan on the radio Saturday, and here's what I need.
Good deal. Save some time for everybody. If you have a car care question, we're getting them already. Either call us or text us. Phone number is 651-989-9226. You can call right now, like some folks are doing. Or send a text if that's easier, 81807. We did get a text, Dan, just before you got here, about Lloyd's specifically. Do you guys work on foreign cars like Audis?
Mostly, actually. I think, in fact, Audi, for sure the import, or the and mainly the European imports, has become our biggest line.
Isn't that interesting?
But Audi, Volkswagen, no, that's one of our strong suits. We're very, very good at that. So, yes, we see lots of those, and our neighborhood kind of drives us to that. There's lots of them around our neighborhood,
okay.
So it's great.
Yeah. All right, good
yes,
question.
We sure do.
Yes, indeed. Again, another text. The text number, did I give you that? 81807. You know, we had a couple of texts. I always like to catch up. I don't want to cheat folks who maybe sent a text in the previous week or so. Let's get a couple of those, can
that
we?
That sounds great.
Okay. A texter says, I recently purchased a 2007 Ford Edge, 170,000 miles on it. It brakes normally except between 30 and 10 miles an hour where the ABS kicks in. I pulled the fuse for the ABS to stop it temporarily. Where should I start troubleshooting, do you think?
Well, perhaps a wheel speed sensor. Mm. The anti-lock brake system uses a wheel speed sensor to sense how the wheels are turning. And if, for example, a wheel bearing has gotten loose or something like that, the air gap on the sensor will have gotten too wide, and that'll cause the ABS to falsely activate and create that problem. Mm. What's going on is when you have the ABS capable of working, each wheel is counted how fast it's going. If one of them slows down, as if the wheel was skidding, it would apply the ABS so that it would take you out of the skid. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's going on. So probably one of the sensors is not reading correctly.
Okay, very good. 81807 for your text messages. Let's grab one more and then we'll get to the phones because folks are waiting. Let's see what kind of a vehicle. 2012 Subaru Impreza. Trouble with gas indicator made me run out of gas on a trip. Could this result in a need for a fuel pump assembly? I did replace and showing crazy mileage now, 65 miles per gallon. What do you think I should do, take it back to the shop?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
okay.
And in fact, I think that's correct. That's a good confirmation, the fact that it's reading crazy mileage, because if it was the gauge in the instrument cluster, it wouldn't be taking that information into account when calculating the mileage. It's getting the information from the tank in order to calculate the mileage, and that's what's going on. So that's good information. Share that with the shop when you drop it off.
Very good. Let's go to the phones. Folks have been waiting. Skip is calling from Bloomington. Skip, you're on with Dan.
Yeah. Good morning, Dan. Question on a Jeep. Grand Cherokee, Laredo, small V8. Temperature gauge the other day when it was really hot on Monday, it go from normal, turn the air on, all of a sudden it would get go right up to the, just about to the top, and shut the air off, and it seemed like the engine was getting extremely hot. Is that a fan inside, or is it a thermostat or a radiator?
It's a cooling problem, so it's either the radiator or the fan. You'd have to see if the fans are working properly when you when the car's running. I'm not sure if that has electric fans only on it, but if it has electric fans only, sometimes they're a two-speed fan. When the engine temperature reaches a certain temperature, the fan will turn on, and then when you add air conditioning to it, which of course is an additional radiator out in front of the cooling radiator, the air conditioning condenser is out in front of that. And when you add air conditioning to it, of course, that gets very hot as part of the air conditioning process. And if you don't have enough fan speed to keep the, to keep all that cool, then of course the engine will overheat. And the other problem that we see, if you live in a neighborhood with lots of cottonwood trees or something like that, is the radiator will actually just get plugged with debris. And if that's the case, it can just be rinsed out and will make a big difference.
We've talked about that in the past, and I was thinking about that, looking at all those seeds blowing around in recent days.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about doing that if I can get to it.
Yeah. I wouldn't really recommend it unless it becomes an issue.
Oh, okay.
It's a little tricky to get in there, and unless you get in there properly, it doesn't do much. I mean, to just run the water through the radiator doesn't really – first of all, you can't get to it.
Yeah, it's tough.
And if you blow it too forcefully, you can bend those little fins over and maybe create more trouble than you help. So unless you have a problem, I would probably just let it be in it. And
let it dissipate on its own natural.
Yeah, that's right.
Jason in Oakdale, I think, has a question for you. Jason, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I have a 2006 Chevy Silverado 1500, and yesterday it would not start, and the indicator light looks like I activated the anti-theft, the pass lock system, and I went online and I followed directions to reset it, where every 10 minutes you turn it on and off. Nothing worked. There's juice in the battery, but it just won't move.
So did you try another key? That's the first thing.
Yes,
you should try.
Yes, I did, because there's no chip or anything in the key. The car's old enough.
Right.
So I've been using these hardware store-made keys.
Uh-huh.
So I went and got the original that came with it. It didn't change anything.
Okay, well.
And I even removed the battery terminals and clicked them together. That's what the dealer told me to do.
Yeah.
Nothing worked.
Yeah. Well, then you're probably going to have to get it towed in and get some more information from the car. See truly if it is a theft deterrent thing that's happening that's causing the problem, and if it is, then the ignition switch itself, sometimes there's a receiver, and of course there's wires going to those. We've seen it where those wires will have moved enough to have broken off. They're very, very small little wires, and sometimes those will break off, but something like that is probably what's going on, but I don't know that you're going to be able to get that sorted out in your driveway without some more information. And, of course, you don't have access to that. So you're going to have to get it somewhere where somebody is going to be able to help you with that.
Okay. Good luck, Jason. Thank you. If you want to ask your car care question, you can do it by phone or by text. We have more show to come. But keep in mind, Dan will be taking his leave about 7:45. So don't wait if you do have a question. We'd love to help you out, as I said, either by phone or by text. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. We mentioned earlier at the start of the show on Grand Avenue. Where on Grand Avenue?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right in the heart of Grand Old Age.
It is.
Yes, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call. Jim will be there this morning at 651-228-1316.
Very good. All right, Dan, let's get back to work here. If you have a car care question, call it in or text it in. Speaking of the phones, and then we'll pick up on some text messages. Dale is calling from Frederick. I believe that's in Wisconsin. Dale, you're on CCO with Dan.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a 1992 Buick LeSabre, and the electrical system ain't working right. I've changed the alternator and checked the battery, cleaned the ground, and cleaned all the cables, everything, every connection I can find, but it still doesn't charge.
Well, it's lacking another ingredient. You know, there when you put the alternator in, I'm sure you notice that there's the small wires that are actually the signal of how much the alternator should charge, and then there's the big wire that actually goes from the alternator over to the battery. And I'm not sure what's going on if the alternator is not getting the signal that it needs to charge, or if there's if that big wire isn't getting over to the battery. So I think the first thing I would do is if you have a voltmeter, check right at the back of the alternator with the car running and see if the alternator is actually charging there but not getting over to the battery, because that's a possibility. If it's not charging coming out of the alternator, then you'd need to, and I would too, I would need to refer to a wiring diagram and see exactly which wire is supposed to be power and where it comes from and so forth, and get an idea of how that wiring going to the alternator is supposed to work. But there's a way to trick the alternator, and I'm not going to tell you how to do that because I wouldn't know without looking. But if you ground one of those small wires, you can get the alternator. You should make the alternator capable of charging, and if it is capable of charging, then of course if you do that, it'll charge. But I guess that's another possibility, is that the alternator that you installed is just not capable of working. It's a defective alternator. So that's another thing that you should check into.
All right. Some ideas there, Dale. Ruth is calling from River Falls. Ruth, you're on with Dan.
Good morning, Dan. I have a 2014 Buick Regal. It has 20,570 in it. I received a little message on my readout little screen there that said, "Attention, all-wheel drive lubricate rear axle." So when I took it in, the guys couldn't get this code to come up. And this is what they wrote: "Found this code stored in ABS system, and it lists it. Lost communication with differential control module. Code is memory only, not a current code. Removed connector at rear differential to check and clean connections. Cleared all codes from system." And then they gave me a readout, and everything had a check mark except that ABS system.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't find anything, and I just wondered if you've had any experience with this.
Well, not specifically with that, but I think the procedure that they followed was exactly right. Oftentimes in a situation like that, it is a connection, and disconnecting the connector, sometimes just disconnecting the connector and putting it back together is all it takes to make it work and function properly again. So I think what they did is correctly. Has it been working fine since?
I have never seen the code again, and they couldn't get it to come up.
Yeah. So I think that you can drive the car confidently and believe that what they did is what the problem was. The next thing, if the light ever does come back, and it probably won't, but if it ever does, is that sensor might intermittently be failing. And that probably the next thing they would do is, even if they can't prove that the sensor has failed, probably the next thing that they would do is recommend replacing that sensor and see how it goes from there.
Okay.
In our business, we hate to guess. It's against the rules at Lloyd's Automotive, but sometimes with intermittent problems, that's just the way that it goes. You have to come down to, there's a high probability that this is the part that's failing, and if you don't want to take a chance, then we should probably replace this part. But because oftentimes when we're working on them, that you bring it in, it's not acting up.
Yeah.
We go through the procedure, the parts all test good, And eventually it comes down to, well, let's try this because we have to do something.
Yeah,
and
good point.
That's the way it goes.
Well put. All right, Ruth, thank you. We have to take a break. We have more show to come. If you have a car care question, you know what we have to do, Dan, is we have to pick up on some text messages here. So we don't want to forget about those folks at all. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny, along with Dan Burns, ASE certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, we've got texters to help out. Let's do that. 2003 Mazda 6. Any ideas why the car constantly goes into limp mode? What's the limp
mode? Well, it's certain manufacturers have this limp in mode where the car, there's a significant error that's happening from a significant sensor or something like that. And just so that you can get the car safely off the road or safely to a car repair shop, it shuts everything, nearly shuts everything down. You can go 20 miles an hour or whatever and cruise along and get to a shop to get some help. If a vehicle goes into the limp-in mode, then there's a very good chance that somewhere in the computer system there's a code stored, and that code would be related to what caused the problem. If, for some reason, there is not a code in there, then it makes it a lot more difficult to track down because then you kind of have to, hope that it's frequent enough where I can put all my computer equipment on it, drive it around, get it tacked up.
Sure.
And then when it acts up, I can push a button and my equipment will memorize the experience and I can go back in time and ahead in time and see what's missing. But chances are more likely that if you have the computer scanned, the information will be stored in there and you'll be able to get that out of there.
All right, good. Another texter says a 2005 Buick overheating. Car repair place says it's a blown head gasket. How do I know for sure, and is there a test?
There is a test. Well, there's several tests. One would be to remove the spark plugs, pressurize the cooling system, and look inside the cylinders for coolant. And it would be a pretty significant leak if you're able to see coolant, but oftentimes we do. You look in there with a little mini camera that we use. Another way is to get the car running and operating, and we have a gas analyzer. And if you're getting exhaust into the cooling system, then you also know that, and there should not be any exhaust getting into the cooling system, but if there is some, then the cylinder head or gasket has failed.
That's the
test procedure.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. Channel buttons on the radio no longer light up. It's a 97 Chevy Suburban. Is this a fuse issue or bulbs?
It's a radio issue, and they're not serviceable, which is a bummer. Common with those, and just make sure that you have WCCO as the number one button, and then you can find it. And then just never switch it. That's probably
right.
Best.
Yeah,
just leave it there.
Light or dark, just leave
light or dark, just leave it there. But at any rate, no, it's in the radio. It's in the radio itself, and maybe you could look around for a good used one or something like that.
Okay.
Or maybe an aftermarket radio would mount in there properly and fit good. But those are a couple options.
Good deal.
But if it's a radio the radio itself and the bulbs are not serviceable.
Not serviceable.
No.
An 04 GMC 2500 AC works great, then suddenly blows warm. Will cool again next time driven. Very random.
Yeah. So something's not happy. There's sensors on the cooling air conditioning system that keep protect the system. If the temperature of somewhere in the system gets too high, it'll shut itself down. If the pressures get too high or too low, the system will shut itself down. And either there's something not working correctly, which certainly would cause it to shut itself down and protect itself, or it's falsely getting a code or an input, and which is common too. And if it's falsely getting an input, then you'd have to track that down and see what it is. Luckily, there's not too many options. Maybe a half a dozen things that could cause that. So it's not, you wouldn't have to look too deep to find it. But something is causing that to shut down.
Okay. My daughter, Tuxter says, has a 2008 Saturn Ion that has run really well for her. Recently, the fan has started to make a really loud clicking noise anytime she runs it. Any thoughts on what's going on and the ballpark cost to fix it?
Yeah, I don't know how much it would cost to fix it. And I would also wonder if it's the cooling fan. There's electric fans out under the hood. And there's a, and then there's the blower motor inside the car. If you're hearing it, it's more likely the blower motor inside the car that actually blows the air that's making the noise. And if it has started to make noise, a couple things that could have happened is either the motor is has failed or, Denny, we've seen this before where animals have gotten in there or debris has gotten in there and fallen into the motor itself, into the fan blades itself. And if that's the case, that can rattle around in there and make noise too. So, but at any rate, it probably is going to require that you pull the blower motor out and see what's going on.
All right, very good. Again, if we don't get all the text messages, Dan, I'm going to print this out and we'll, again,
sounds good.
Do some more next week. Let's see. Oh, here's an interesting question. I don't know if we've ever done the math. It's not real difficult. Even I could do it. How do you calculate what your gas mileage is in your car?
Well, you take the number of miles that you've driven and divide it by the number of gallons that you put in the car.
Uh-huh.
And that will equal how many miles per gallon you're getting.
Do that every time.
I do too. Is that funny?
Kind of
I can look
obsessive
back.
Obsessive compulsive.
I know. And when it's bad, I can look back and usually it's related to me. It's actually always it's related to me. I've done something different when the mileage is poor.
Uh-huh.
It's been in the wintertime when I let it warm up too long or, you know, lots of conditions in the wintertime. And when the mileage has been spectacular, it's been on a long drive with perhaps a tailwind. And that makes a big difference.
Here's an 08 Chevy Cobalt. Drives great, no rust. Bad knock in the engine, though. Also, the tranny is leaking. Does it pay to find used to replace 160,000 miles? Finding good used cars in that price range is hard.
It is good used parts, I wonder, if what they're talking about. But at any
probably.
Rate, yeah. You know, we do it all the time. And as the just a normal guy on the street, it can be a little bit trickier because I have a relationship with these, you know, recyclers, they call themselves, that recycle parts and sell them to us. And, of course, they come with a warranty and they have a relationship with me, so they want to be sure that I get good parts or at least stand behind them. So that's the only thing I would, you know, as a normal consumer, I would be a little bit careful of is where you get it, who you're dealing with, and that, because it's a lot of work to put in. And if the warranty only includes that I'll give you another one. Well, that's great. I appreciate that you'll give me another one, but I don't want to go through the whole process of putting it in again. So I want a good one on the front end and know that it's been tested and marked as good.
We have to run, but there's a final text here that I think I want to impart to you. The text says, I just wanted to add... evidently, he was a caller earlier, that your show has saved me thousands of dollars. Thank you very much.
Oh,
how about
nice.
That? That's the idea.
That is the whole idea. That's that's what I'm why I'm here and what I'm hoping to do is to give you a little information that you can share, because the more information you tell your shop, the better off everyone's going to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dan, we'll see you 1 week from today.
Sounds good. I'll be here.
Good deal. Thank you. And by the way, how do we get in touch with you guys there?
Well, come on over. That's the best way to get in touch with us. We are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net, or give us a call, 651-228-1316.
Good deal. See you 1 week from today. Thank you, Dan.